sure will. So good to be with you tonight, and I appreciate the invitation from Brother Ted, your good pastor. He is a great man of God in my eye, and of course I've been with him as he said. We've worked mass walks together and preach your Bible. I've been up here before, and you know, working together, and we work together here, and we'll rejoice over there some of these days. You know, won't it be wonderful? And somebody was talking the other day about how that, you know, there's churches just in different locations throughout the world, and someday there's going to be, you know, that one unity, and we're going to come together, and I think there's going to be some surprise people. I really do. I believe there'll be some surprised people. The reason I think they'll be surprised, I think there'll be some people that will be there that some are not expecting to be. But then there could be some that are expecting to be there, but won't get to make it. You know, Jesus said, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." And Brother Ted called and asked me if I could come over, and in the conversation, he said, if I'm quoting this right, he said, "Check your calendar, appointment calendar, and get back with me." And I said, "I'll tell you now." I said, "Yeah, I'll be there." And because he said May the 7th. May the 6th is kind of special for me because when I came into this world, I just can't recall. I don't remember anything about my birth at all. But on my knees one night in prayer, I never will forget. I had a birth I can't remember, but one I'll never forget. Well, it never made the paper, it didn't make the evening news. When I took off the old man and I put on the new, my sin was cast into forgetfulness as far as the east is from the west. I've had a birth I can't remember, but one I'll never forget. And to the world, it makes no difference. Some even frowns, but the angels rejoice when my name was written down. Unworthy of His mercy, but still He paid my debt. I've had a birth I can't remember, but one I'll never forget." Yes. And it's the truth, children. The reason I said to Brother Ted, "Yes, I can come," is because yesterday I celebrated a birthday. And when I came into this world, I don't remember. I know they tell me what I looked like and where I was born and all these things. And I kind of joke about it sometimes. I say, "Well, they said that was my mom and dad, and those two guys were my brothers, and I really don't know. But I know that I was raised up in the house with them. And I accepted them as being my family, and that's okay. Because there's something about a birth we don't know. We come together tonight, and I remember being in service with some of you all. As I said, Brother Ted and his wife back there, we've been together in service. But, you know, I wasn't with you when you got saved. And I'm not with you in your everyday life. But I can tell you about one that is. And that is God Almighty, the Creator, and Jesus Christ, our sacrifice, our supreme sacrifice. Christ died for the sins that whosoever would call upon His name can be saved. So I'm not here tonight to preach anything new to you. I'm come to share a message. And this message is very simple. It's very plain. I really appreciate Brother Ted. He's a preaching machine. And it seems like he's just one of those human computers. You know, he just continue. You all know how he is. I know he teaches and preaches, and And isn't it just amazing? But you know what? God has chosen us. And every one of us, we're different. We're different. Our actions are different. You know, our looks are different. You know, maybe we worship some different, somewhat different. Maybe we sing somewhat different. But there's one thing that is in agreement. That is our spirit. The Bible says that our spirits will bear witness one with another. So we know that God wants to bless us and wants to fill us and wants to help us. And if you have your Bibles tonight, you want to read along with me. I want to read some scripture in the book of Acts. And it's going to be found in chapter 10. I'm going to read about a man by the name of Cornelius. If you'd like to stand with me for the reading of God's Word, please stand. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he had looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we read your word this afternoon. Now we pray, God, that you would just anoint the ears of the hearers. I pray, Lord, that you would just anoint the voice of the messenger. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that these two could meet together, Lord, and they could be in one, Lord, in unity, Father. Accepting, Lord, what you have for us this evening, God, that we may grow in grace. And, Lord, we may grow in understanding of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray, Heavenly Father, now that if there's one here tonight, Lord, that don't know you in the free pardon of sin, that this would be the night, Lord, that they would consider yielding to you, God, and accepting you, Lord, as being Lord and Savior of their life. Lord, if there's a need in this building tonight, God, I pray that you would build faith right now, God, through the preaching of your word, Lord. If there are those, dear God, that have fear, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would allow perfect love to come to their lives tonight, because love will cast out all fear, you said, all A-double-L fear. And I just pray, God, that we'd be on the same level tonight, Lord, worshiping you in spirit and in truth. And the church said, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. This message this evening has a great bearing upon the society of the time that we're living today. And, you know, we read a lot of things that has took place in the Bible, and we say, well, you know, that's a little before our time, but isn't that just the way people are today? A lot of things we compare now as then, as it was recorded, and then we look in the prophecy and we read about how that Daniel gave us the word of the things that would come to pass. We read Revelation and we pray for an interpretation, and we try to pray for an understanding. And lots of times we're spinning our wheels, because we know that these things are going to come to pass. And we know things have already happened, but we overlook where we're living lots of times, church. A lot of times we overlook where we are right now. We are the church now in the month of May in the year of 2013, our Lord. Now, God has given us this time, and the time that we have is very important. It's important for Him. It's important for what He is setting in stage in order to take place in His plan. It is something that is important for you and I to set in stone, that we might be able to be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because there's a great opportunity to be working today. Whenever Cornelius began to acknowledge that there was something speaking to him, and there was something that had come to him, acknowledging God, because the Bible says that he was a man that feared God. He gave alms. He prayed always. And I believe that he was just a good person, don't you? The Bible kind of describes him as being good. That's the way a lot of people are today in the life that we're living. A lot of people in the church are just outstanding people. I believe that if there's people that are saved, I believe it's people in the church. I believe that we testify of God's grace, and we testify of his mercy and his love, and we testify of his provision and many things that God does in our services and in our everyday lives. And we know that God is real. So God blesses the church in this manner. But there's a lot of times we have a tendency to forget that God speaks to us that there are things that need to be done. And many times we feel like that we are doing what we're supposed to do. We go to church on Sunday mornings. The doors are open. We're always there. We stand behind our good pastors and we support them. We pay tithes and we do these things. And God, I believe with all my heart, looks down and he sees the good deeds that we do. But Jesus used an illustration one time. He said, "I was hungry and you fed me not. He said, I was naked and you clothed me not. He said, I was sick and you visited me not. I was in prison, you came not unto me." He began to use these in the illustrations, and it kind of makes me wonder sometimes, Brother Ted, what seems to be our point that we're missing within the church today. Our church world today feels like that what we need to do is get people saved and get them in church, and then we go to heaven. Well, that is a good thought, and that's a good meaning. But listen, understand this, friends. There's some work that needs to be done. We come together to worship, but we go out to work. Amen? Whenever Cornelius knew that the angel of the Lord had come to him, and he said, "What is it, Lord?" And the angel began to talk to him, and he said, "Your alms have come up for a memorial before God." I'd like for us to all take a little inventory of our lives right now and kind of examine some of those good deeds that we do within our life. We have good intentions. I know that with all my heart. But good intentions are not fulfilling the good deeds that the Bible talks about and it stresses and it brings to our attention. And I'm not saying to you tonight that you have to do what the person sitting beside you has to do. God says we are a body. And we are members different, but we all completely make the body of Christ. You might be able to help somebody go to the doctor tomorrow. And somebody else might be able to bring some things out of the fruit cellar and to give the hungry. And somebody might be able to go to the funeral home and visit those and encourage those that have lost loved ones. There are many things that we can do to help those that are in need. A lot of people says, "Well, I pray and I believe God can answer prayer and God can supply our every need according to his riches and glory." That's what he said he would do. That's what God is for. Let me tell you something, Chris. God is not a checkbook as we use to put our money in the bank and say, "We'll ride upon this whenever there's a need." God moves and demonstrates his power through his people. Whenever he spoke to Cornelius, he didn't say, "Cornelius, your alms have come up as a memorial." He didn't say, "I'm going to bless you real good now." He said, "I want you to send for one Simon. He is over there by the seaside, and I want you to have him to come over, and he'll tell you what you need to do." Whenever he sent for that man, do you know what he was sending for? He was sending for somebody that would bring him the Word of God and tell him exactly what he needed to do. He didn't say, "I'm going to send over there and get somebody that's well known. I'm going to send somebody to bring a group of people with him, and you're going to really be blessed when they come to your house. They'll come and sing, and they'll dance, and they'll rejoice, and you'll just be happy to be with them." Let me tell you what he said. He said, "I want you to send them for him, and he'll tell you what you must do." Whenever that this man by the name of Simon heard that God wanted him to go over there, he didn't hear it on the phone. He didn't read it by letter. He heard it directly from heaven, and the Lord spoke to him and said, "Listen, I'm going to show you something before you go on your mission. I'm going to show you something that you may not understand, but if you'll trust me, you'll understand and know that what I'm cleaning up, don't you ever call common. I'm glad to know, Brother Ted, that the day we're living today, regardless of the color of skin, regardless of the language, language people speak, if they are born again by the Spirit of God and have their sins washed in the blood of the Lamb, they're on their way to a place called heaven, and we can be there throughout all eternity if we trust and believe the Word of God as the Word of God is delivered to us. Give the Lord a hand of praise.
Simon came. I'll turn over here and I want to read this. I want to make sure that we get this point across here tonight. Peter meets Cornelius. And whenever he meets him, as Peter was coming in, Cornelius just fell at his feet. And he was going to just really worship him. Now, I give honor to whom honor is due. But there's one that I worship, and I worship him in spirit and in truth. And I've heard people say, we put on our pants the same way. Mankind is mankind. We clothe ourselves and we present ourselves. But there's one that is far above anything that you, me, or anybody else on this earth will ever be able to do. And his name is Jesus Christ, and he's the one that we're to honor.
Amen.
Amen. If you want to please the Father, brag on the Son. I'm here to tell you now. I know that it works. If you want to please the Father, brag on the Son a little bit. Because it is through Him that we live and move and have our beings in the spiritual realm. I know that Peter come in and Cornelius is going to fall down and worship him. And Peter took him up and saying, "Stand up. I myself also am a man." And we just had a gentleman down at our church this past Sunday preach his first sermon. And he's from Russell County. Brother David Smith. I don't know if you all know Brother David or not. 2 weeks ago, we started to take the offering up, and David beat the ushers to the front. He had to make an announcement. He had to tell the church that the Lord had called him to preach. He stood it as long as he could, and he had to stand up and confess it before men. And I just said to him, I said, "Well, when do you want to preach your first message? Do you want to preach it here?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "Be an honor." And I said, "Well, next week, something was taking place. I forget exactly what it was." And I said, "Then 2 weeks." So Sunday, he stood up and he preached the Word of God. And as he stood up and he preached the Word of God, according to the Bible, he's as obedient and preaching the Word as Brother Ted or me or whoever it is that's preaching the Word, because he surrendered, he yielded. He may have not preached as long as everybody else, but I read where that there was a man by the name of Jonah ran from the Lord. I only have a record of him preaching one message. Only one. And that's what helped me get through. I thought, well, maybe I'll just get by preaching one. And I didn't know if I could preach one or not. But see, this is where we find ourselves a lot of times. We think, "I can't do this. I can't do what God is asking me to do. He wants me to testify, but I'm so scared." Look, standing over there. We've got company. We've got a stranger in the church tonight. And I don't know if I can get up and testify for the Lord before those people. What do they think about what I'm going to say? Now, let me tell you something, friends. What the Lord has done for you may be a miracle. And it may be far beyond the understanding of those that hear what you have to say. But I'm not surprised, and it doesn't excite me beyond reason, because I believe that those that have faith in God, the Bible tells us that all things are possible to them that believe. And I'm still here to tell you tonight that God is a miracle worker. I believe He'll forgive you of your sin. If I didn't believe that, I'd lay this microphone down and walk out of this building. I'd carry my word out and I'd say, "Okay, I can't do this." And God will not back up His word. I can't stand and back Him up. I'm here to tell you something today. I've been there. I know what God can do. He can change your life in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. But you've got to want to be changed. I'm here to tell you that the Lord is a gentleman, and He's a gentleman indeed. Whenever that you have a need within your body, a physical need, I believe that the Lord is able to heal. I believe by the stripes that Christ bore on His back, I believe according to the Word of God, that anointing with oil, the prayer of faith, I believe that the laying on of hands will change people's lives. I'm here to tell you today, friends, I know it's happened to me, and it will happen to me. I believe that it can happen to you. God is no respecter of persons. Give the Lord a hand to pray. Can He meet our every need? Yes, He can. I believe He'll supply
our needs according to His riches and glory. Can He help you financially? Yes, He's helped me financially before. Honestly, He's helped me financially. I'm not here to brag or tell you about what I have gained in life. I'm not talking about worldly gain. I'm talking about a spiritual gain. Word that we can say without a doubt that I know that my Redeemer lives and that He's sitting at the right hand of the Father and He's making intercession for me. And all I need to do is get myself in the place at the point of time that I can get through to heaven and that I can hear a response and have a response from Almighty God. Because God wants to bless His people. Now, a lot of folks say, well, you know, I just don't know. God's getting ready to pour His wrath out on the world and we're just going to see some things happen like we've never seen before. If God does not respond to the action of sin, I truly believe that He needs to go back and He needs to make some apologies to some people in the world. Some of the stories of what took place in their lives and in their towns and in their cities, I believe God needs to go back and apologize to those people. But it's going to come to pass. It's going to take place. I read in the Word where that there was a group of people. They were all in one language. They were all in one mind. They were all dead set on doing one thing. They wanted brick. They wanted mortar. They got those things together and they began to build them a tower. They began to go into the heavens. And God saw their intention and God came down and He visited. And He saw what was going on. A lot of people think God won't communicate with us. He won't come back to the earth and He won't know what's going on. Let me tell you something, friends. I don't believe that we ever lay our head to the pillow that God don't see where we are. I don't believe that we ever speak a word that God doesn't hear what comes forth from our mouth. I don't believe that a deed is ever done that God does not record it in heaven. So the things that we have done or the things that we haven't done are going to be a memorial someday in our presence. There's going to be a remembrance. And that book of remembrance that's going to be open, the Bible teaches us that we're going to be held accountable for the deeds done in this body, whether they've been good or bad. Whenever they were building the tower into the heavens, God came down, and that's when they mixed their language up. I know you've read the Bible. I know you've heard. I know you've studied about it. And they began to not even understand or communicate with each other. It makes me wonder sometimes why that the church that's down the road that says we're doing God's will and we're doing everything that the Lord wants us to do, why they can't come and worship with those that are up the road. I don't know why they can't wave their hand at the neighbor. I can't understand if we're of one mind and one accord, why we can't worship together, why we can't support one another, why can we not get together like we once did. I'll tell you one of the reasons is somebody's afraid that one of the church people is going to give a dollar somewhere else. I'm here to tell you the filthy lucre is separating people in the world we're living today, and a lot of people don't want to do it because we may have less than they do and we don't want to have anything to do with them, so let's withdraw. God's not blessing them. I'm here to tell you something today, friends. You don't have to count your blessings according to what you've got in your bank. I'm here to tell you tonight that you can count your blessings according to the authority and the power that God demonstrates and puts through your life. It doesn't matter if you're able to pay your life bill or not, but if you're able to read your word and you're able to pray and get a hold of heaven and lay hands on those that have needs in their life and the power of God be demonstrated as it was through Simon. You ought to be dancing in the street today. You ought to be saying, glory to God, it's time that we get revived and understand that God wants to communicate with us. And God does want to communicate with us. And how does He want to communicate? I wish an angel would come by and see us. You ever seen an angel? You ever seen an angel? Well, they're real. Have you ever been hugged up by one? There's one wrapped his wing around me one night at the altar. We were praying, and boy, it makes me feel so good just to think about it. I could the Lord bring it to my memory sometimes. Right? And I remember something just so warm. Have you ever put your hand in under the wing of a chicken or a bird?
Yeah.
You know how soft and how warm it is underneath? Oh, my. That was put around from my left side to my right. I was right about here praying.
Thank you, Jesus.
When I finished praying, I looked around. There wasn't anybody there. And it's just like the Lord revealed to me that is an angel wrapped his arm around
me. Thank you, Jesus.
And it's just wonderful to have the angels of God in our presence. And if we could see those spiritual beings right now, this house is full of them. You've got those standing beside you. I believe with all my heart there's one standing here with me about 12 foot tall.
Yeah.
I believe he's saying, devil, you better stay back because I'm here on a mission. I'm here on a mission. This is my job. And I believe he's just waiting for the beckoning call. All we have to do is cry out to Almighty God. In a moment and a twinkling of an eye, I believe he's in the presence of God saying, Father, he asked me to come up here. Or she asked me to come up here. Listen to what I'm saying. They're messengers. And those messengers, my friends, can bring the presence of Almighty God. The Holy Spirit can come and be with us. The Holy Ghost can fill this house in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, whenever we get to the point and understand that we're going to accept what the message is from Almighty God. What is the message? He said, I would that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Even as your soul prospers. Prosperity of soul will cause you to forget, and the other things are not important. At one point in time, the importance in our life are material things. Material things. When we get to the point that it's more important to understand that we have needs of spiritual things, when we get those natural things out of the way. Many of you have worked today, and I'm sure you're tired, but you're having revival. And you're at church tonight. And guess what God will do? God will bless you because you stand behind the church. You are a part of the church. Now you might look around and you say, well, I thought so-and-so would be here tonight. And if you're not careful, being concerned about those that are not here will take your mind away from what God wants to say to you. And Satan comes through the door and he'll sneak in anyway to get your mind and your thoughts away from what God is trying to say to us. What God is trying to say to us tonight is that I know where you sit. I know where you live. I know the life that you're living. I know your needs. And I know what your blessings are. I know what you're experiencing. And I know what I have in store for you. A lot of people say, well, we're living in a world today that we're in a computer world. The Lord just ran this through my mind this morning as I was working. He said, a lot of people look at a book called the encyclopedia. He said, the encyclopedia is one of those things that are all but a thing of the past. Because it's upon the keyboard of your computer now. It's on your screen. There is a recording. The hospitals have records. The governmental offices have records. Your home has records. The IRS knows the records. There are so many records in the banks. They're in the grocery stores. They're in the pharmacist. And they have all these records, all the doctors. They know your DNA. They know everything about you. And in a moment of twinkling of an eye, they can tell you everything they need to know about you before they prescribe or they give you approval or they give you an okay. So we've come to the time that we have got so intelligent that we really just need our computer and we really don't need the Bible anymore. Listen to me. We really don't need the Bible anymore because we've got our computer. We can find out things there that, you know, we talk to God and why God just hadn't said anything to me for so long. I've been going to church. Brother Ted's been praying for years. And me and God, we just don't talk much. So I can find out things real quick on the computer. And I wonder, is God really real? Listen to me, friend. Brother Ken can pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And the Spirit of the Lord can be upon you. But until you're willing to respond, to hear from heaven,
not have a communication with God. You have to be willing to communicate with Almighty God yourself. Because this building can be full of people shouting from door to door, wall to wall. And you can be sitting there thinking, I wonder what they're shouting about. I believe in God. I read the story today. Brother Stanley preached it last night. Brother Jimmy preached it the night before. And we hear this all the time, that God is real, and I believe that. In the past couple of weeks, we've had people saved down at our church. We'll get back to this in just a minute. Had people saved down at our church, and in the middle of the service, they just get up and go to the altar. They don't wait till we go through the ritual of singing, you know, and preaching and praying and doing all those things and then giving invitation and singing Just As I Am or just a little talk with Jesus or whatever. They just get up and respond and just come to the altar and pray. We were taking up the offering the other day and asked if anybody had anything to say after the offering was took up and anybody have a word for the Lord, anything you would like to say. We were going to change the service. And this man speaks up and he says, yeah. He said, Rachel wants to be saved. And I said, Rachel. And he said, yeah, right here. She was sitting beside him. And I said, well, tell her to come on up here. If she wants to be saved, why wait? Come on now. Yes. Rachel came to the altar. This is a story. Listen to this. Rachel came to the altar. Rachel had been to our church a few times. Rachel was not raised in church. Rachel knew that she was lost and undone without the Lord. She gets on the altar and she gets right here and she begins to pray. And the fellow that was sitting beside of her, he's on one side and I'm on the other side. And I open the Bible up and I turn to Romans chapter 10. And I begin reading verse 8. I said, I want you to look at this. And I began to read to her. What saith then? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word is what it takes to connect with us, that it'll stir our hearts and get us in contact with Almighty God. The Word of God. If we will believe the Word of God. And then I read on over, and when I got to verse 13, I said, look at this, Rachel. For whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He doesn't say might be. He doesn't say if the temperature is 75 degrees, the sun's shining, if there's not a little cloud over there that'll hinder the light from coming through. He didn't say that. He said, whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the word. And that's where we are today, friends. A lot of people are saying, I'm finding me a church, and I'm finding it through the computer way, and I worship the Lord at home, and I don't need to go to the house of God because I can get all I need to get from watching somebody else shout. I want you to know I watched people shout for a long time, and it didn't do me any good, Brother Ted, until I got on the shouting ground myself. And when I got on shouting ground myself, the Lord said, look in this mirror and see yourself. Are you at the point that you think you're worthy to lift your hand and give me some praise? It's time that we look at ourselves, church, and understand, as Cornelius knew, that he heard from heaven and that he needed to hear the word. And when the word came, he was wanting to bow down and worship the man. But the man said, hey, don't worship me. I'm just a man. I'm here tonight to tell you tonight that if you're going to worship, you need to worship Almighty God and don't worship somebody else in this world, because they'll lead you astray, my friends, and never take you home. I appreciate what people do. Honest, I appreciate what people do. But let me tell you something, friends. You put your faith in man, and man will let you down. I was in church. I was raised near church. Went to church several times when I was a child. My family were not saved. When I got saved, I remember being in church, and boy, I just put my faith in everybody. Anybody that went to church called themselves Christians, I just believed that. You know, all they had to do was just say amen. I wanted to cry. Just like what Brother Ted was saying. That's where my blessings come from. I mean, they come out of there. Whoa. I don't cry all the time, but I cry most of the time. But you know what? I get so excited sometimes because I know the importance of being what God wants you to be. Because if you'll be what God wants you to be, you'll be blessed. I have sat in that seat. And I remember I would cry, try to testify. And I'd cry and I'd couldn't say anything. And I said, Lord, would you just take these away? I want to be like them over there. I want to be like these over here. I want to tell what is on my heart and in my mind. I want to share this with people and share it without just boo-hooing. I'd say a few words and I'd just get to crying out quick. So, away they go. God didn't say, okay. All I did was ask it. My tears left. They dried up. They did. I could stand up and sing. I could testify. I could make a speech. I could say those words just like everybody else. But there was no spirit. There was no blessings. For 3 months, I finally came to my senses enough to realize that I had been robbed of something. And if you're missing something, what do? Usually, just say it's gone. You go back. And when you get to that point, you say, "I want it back. I want it back."
Thank you, Jesus.
That's why we have the revival, to remind us I'm missing something that I have. I'm missing the trail somewhere. I'm missing my walk. I'm missing my blessing. I'm missing my talk. I'm missing my prayer time. I'm missing my time to read my Bible. I'm missing my time to visit. I'm missing my time to feed those that are hungry. I'm missing my time to be something for somebody else, to help somebody else, to glorify Almighty God. So I went back and I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, if you'll give them back to me, I'll cry till I die. I wouldn't trade a tear tonight for the loudest shout that there is in the building or in this county or in this world. Because I know what my tear does. And I hope your shout does what my tear does. Do I shout? Yeah, I shout a little bit sometimes. I get carried away sometimes. But I want you to know, without His Spirit, we're none of His. And it wouldn't do us any good if we had enough money to feed everybody that's hungry in the world. If we could pay everybody's bills. If we could make everybody happy financially. It still would not bring satisfaction to the people of the world today. The only thing that will bring satisfaction to the people of the world today is God Almighty and His miraculous love. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And then the next verse says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." So see, a lot of people want to point fingers and want to pass condemnation. But Christ come to love us and to set us free. Cornelius didn't know how blessed he was whenever the angel come and said, "I want you to call for one Simon." He said, "I want you to bring Peter over here." And when Peter came in, there was a confirmation. You ever read the confirmation in Acts chapter 10 and verse 30? Cornelius said to him, he said, "4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send to Joppa, call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. And immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth Him and worketh righteousness is accepted with Him." Accepted with Him. Now, not turned away because of where he lives and what he looks like and how educated he is and what congregation he attends. I know that we're a church of God. I know know that we're the church of God, and I'm glad it is church of God. I hate to go to a Christian church and it not be the church of God. Would you? I would. I hate to go to a Christian. I hate to go to the Baptist church and it not be the church of God. Yeah. And I'm sure that you've been to some of those. That's kind of cool. Yeah? Have you? Been here? Yeah. And you just pray for that season to come. You know, seasons change things. Sometimes it's a dry open church. I just want to say, well, let's just sit and wait. Let's just sit and wait. You know, you sing, and it's just like you're singing something. You preach, it's just like you preach a sermon. And then sometimes somebody will say something and the glory just falls. Isn't it amazing that God said, I chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise? Isn't it amazing that sometimes we think we've got it all figured out? But I'm glad to know that we don't know what God knows. But I'm here to tell you tonight, the key is to pray. If you will pray and seek the Lord with all your heart, He can be found.
Amen.
He said, if you will seek me with all your heart, God has a time. God has a purpose. God has a reason. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, that word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea, began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Now listen to this. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Now to all the people, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead, and he commanded us to preach. Now listen to this. He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is He which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. To Him give all the prophets witness, and that through His name, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sin. The remission of sin is important, most important. Be born again, be saved. And once you're saved, after a few years, your feet starts touching the ground again. And you come back to earth and you begin to walk and you begin to look around and you begin to think, if I could just get saved all over again, wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful? But he said there's something that'll take place in your life that are going to amaze a lot of people. He said you can receive the power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Oh, but the Bible says that no man calls Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And what does it mean that you can receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you? Jesus told the people, he said, go and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with the power from on high. A lot of people don't want to seek and they don't want to tarry. A lot of people wants to say, I'm right and everybody else is wrong. A lot of people want to say, if I don't have it, it's not there. Well, I can look around and I see a lot of people, Brother Ted, that I wish I had what they had. I know what I've got, but I see a lot of people, I wish I had what they had. I remember, y'all ever heard Brother T.D. Jakes? Y'all ever heard him preach?
Yeah.
Brother T.D. Jakes said one time, said, people come up and want me to anoint them and pray for them that they can have what I've got. And he said, it took me 30 years to get what I've got. And he didn't just get it by one anointing and one prayer. I'm here to tell you something, friends, that you can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can be filled with the Spirit. And there can be evidence that will take place in your life. And a lot of churches, well, you know, we don't teach that. We don't believe that. And do you speak in tongues? And do you do these things? There's a lot of people that will tell you that they don't allow so-and-so in the church. But let me tell you something, friends. If the power of God moves in, He'll move every doubt out of the way. He'll remove every law that's ever been put on the church book, and He'll take that out of the way. And whenever the Holy Ghost came into the upper room that day, those people came out, and they were not ashamed because some of them, I believe, were wobbly-legged. I believe some of them were talking in the manner they were, and other people looked at them and said, "Oh, these must be drunk. What time is it of this day?" And Peter said, "These are not drunk as you suppose, but they have been there in the upper room, and that was promised to them has fell upon them. And here we are witnesses, and we stand before the world today." That's where we need to go, church. We need to open up our heart and say, "Lord, what would you have for me? And where do you want me to go? And what do you want me to do when I get that? For your glory and for your honor and for your praise." Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Him. Don't be ashamed of the Spirit of the Lord, regardless of how it moves in your life. Don't be ashamed if the Lord says you need to take somebody to the hand and say, "We need to have prayer." Don't be ashamed to invite somebody to go to the altar and pray if they're unsaved and they need somebody to lean on. Don't be ashamed to be a worker and a laborer for the Lord. Jesus knew that there was a tree that was planted one time, a seed that was planted. Jesus knew that there was a need for a tree to grow up beside the road. God allowed it to be protected. God allowed it to grow. And then God gave a man an opportunity to walk with that tree one day. And when he walked with that tree, there were so many people around, he couldn't see what he wanted to see. There was a man passing by, and his name was Jesus. And he had no idea that God had a plan years and years ago. But he comes to this point, and I believe that he's doing this. Probably standing under the shade a little bit. But then he looks at that and says, "Tree, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to climb up in this thing. And I'm going to look and I'm going to see this man Jesus as he comes by." And when Jesus gets to where he is, he stops. Glory to God. He said, "Zacchaeus, you make haste and come down right now. For today I must abide at your house." I'm sure Zacchaeus never thought that God put that tree there for him to get up in so he could see Jesus. But God made a way for him. And he gave him his son. And his son went to the house. And people looked at him and said, "He's going to be with a guest of a man that is a sinner. And I want you to know, when he come to my house that night," a lot of people said the same thing. But he talked about a man that was a sinner. That's when Jesus came into my house. When he came in, the devil had to flee. I want you to understand this tonight. Stand with me. Get us a song of invitation, would you please? I feel like we need to stop. Tonight, whenever Satan comes in like a flood, when he brings everything of the power of darkness that he has against you, cry out to Jesus. And when you cry out to Jesus, have faith to believe that He's going to move in your presence and help you in your need. I don't know what battle you've been fighting tonight. I have no idea what you've been going through in your life. But don't let Satan steal your joy.
That's
church,
right.
Rise up above that. God has prepared a way for you as well as He's prepared a way for me. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." He said, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. He restores my soul. Why, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." But then he said, "Hey, though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death." He's positive now. "I will fear no evil." You know why? He's got the Lord. He's got the Lord. He even said, "He prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies." You can just sit down and just dine. You can just feast. You can enjoy yourself. Because you know what? They're not our enemies only. They're God's enemies. They don't realize they're fighting against the power and the authority of the Creator, the one that made heaven and the earth. They don't realize that Jesus spoke to us and said, I'll go with you all the way. Even the dead. I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you, he said. If you're here tonight, friend, and you're lost and undone without the Lord, you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't know what you're missing. Famous words, Brother Charles Knight, Rock of Ages Quartet. Brother Charles would speak that in such a pleasant, loving, kind voice. He'd say, friend, if you're here tonight and you don't know him, you don't know what you're missing. Brother Charles has since to go on to be with the Lord. Brother Charles left this world holding the hand of Jesus, I believe, with all my heart. Whose hand do you hold tonight? Bow your heads with us, if you would, please. Go ahead, sister.
Come as the wisdom to choose.